to feel like every man was a mountain towering overhead. They smashed weapons about her, speaking guttural Alethi curses. "I can't do this on my knees," she thought as a sword chopped close to her shirt. "I have to be like her. I have to be free." Lift zipped over the side of a small rise in the rock and managed to land on her feet. She ran for a moment, then slicked the bottoms of her feet and went into a slide. The Voidbringer woman passed ahead. She didn't slip and fall, but performed the strange walking motion, one that let her control her smooth glide. Lift tried to do the same. She trusted in her awesomeness, her stormlight. To sustain her, she held her breath. Men cursed around her, but sounds slid off Lift as she coated herself in light. The wind itself couldn't touch her. She'd been here before. She'd held for a beautiful moment between crashes, sliding on bare feet, moving free, untouched, like she was gliding between worlds. She could do it. She could... Something crashed to the ground nearby, crushing several soldiers, throwing Lift off balance and sending her into a heap. She slid to a stop and rolled over, looking up at one of the huge stone monsters. The skeletal thing raised a spiked hand and slammed it down. Lift threw herself out of the way, but the shaking from the impact sent her sprawling again. Soldiers nearby didn't seem to care that their fellows had been crushed. Eyes glowing, they scrambled for her, as if it were a contest to see who could kill her first. Her only choice was to dodge toward the stone monster. Maybe she could get so close that it... The creature pounded again, mashing three soldiers, but also slamming into Lift. The blow snapped her legs in the blink of an eye, then crushed her lower half, sending her into a screaming fit of pain. Eyes watering, she curled up on the ground. Heal. Heal. Just had to weather the pain. Just had to... Stones ground against one another overhead. She blinked away tears, looking up at the creature raising its spike high in the sky toward the sun, which was slipping behind the clouds of the deadly storm. "Mistress," Windle said. His vines climbed over her as if trying to cradle her. "Oh, mistress, summon me as a sword." The pain in her legs started to fade. Too slowly, she was growing hungry again, her stormlight running low. She summoned Windle as a rod, twisting against the pain and holding him toward the monster, her eyes watering with the effort. An explosion of light appeared overhead, a ball of expanding radiance. Something dropped from the middle of it, trailing smoke both black and white, glowing like a star. "Mother," Windle said. "What is..." As the monster raised its fist to strike Lift, the spear of light hit the creature in the head and cut straight through. It divided the enormous thing in two, sending out an explosion of black smoke. The halves of the monster fell to the sides, crashing into the stone, then burned away, evaporating into blackness. Soldiers cursed and coughed, backing up as something resolved in the center of the tempest. A figure in the smoke, glowing white and holding a jet-black shard blade that seemed to feed on the smoke, sucking it in, then letting it pour down beneath itself as a liquid blackness. White and black. A man with a shaved head, eyes glowing a light gray, stormlight rising from him. He straightened and strode through the smoke, leaving an afterimage behind. Lift had seen this man before. The assassin in white. Murderer. And apparently savior. He stopped beside her.
"The Blackthorn assigned you a task?"
Yeah, Lift said, wiggling her toes, which seemed to be working again. "There's a Voidbringer who stole a large ruby. I'm supposed to get it back."
"Then stand,"
the assassin said, raising his strange shard blade toward the enemy soldiers.
"Our master has given us a task. We shall see it completed."
Navani scrambled across the top of the wall, alone except for crushed corpses. Dalinar, don't you dare become a martyr, she thought, reaching the stairwell. She pulled open the door at the top and started down the dark steps. What was he thinking? Facing an entire army on his own? He wasn't a young man in his prime, outfitted in shard plate. She fumbled for a sphere in her safe pouch, then eventually undid the clasp on her arm fabrial instead, using its light to guide her down the steps and into the room at the base. Where had Fen and... A hand grabbed her, pulling her to the side and slamming her against the wall. Fen and Kamakal lay here, gagged, bound tightly. A pair of men in forest green, eyes glowing red, held knives to them. A third one, wearing the knots of a captain, pressed Navani against the wall.
"What a handsome reward you'll earn me," the man hissed at Navani. "Two queens! Bright Lord Amaram will enjoy this gift. That almost makes up for not being able to kill you personally, as justice for what your husband did to Bright Lord Sadeus."
Ash stumbled to a stop before a brazier. It bore delicate metalwork around the rim, a finer piece than one expected to find in such a common location. This improvised camp was where the Alethi troops had bivouacked while repairing the city. It clogged multiple streets and squares of the low ward. The unlit brazier that had stopped Ash was in front of a tent, and had perhaps been used for warmth on cold Thalen nights. 10 figures ringed the bowl. Her fingers itched. She couldn't move on, no matter how desperate her task, until she'd done it. She seized the bowl and turned it until she found the woman depicting her, marked by the iconography of the brush and the mask, symbols of creativity, pure absurdity. She pulled out her knife and sawed at the metal until she'd managed to scratch out the face. Good enough. Good enough. She dropped the brazier. Keep going. What that man Moraes had told her had better be true. If he had lied... The large tent near the wall was completely unguarded, though soldiers had run past her a short time ago, eyes glowing with the light of corrupted investiture. Odium has learned to possess men. A dark, dangerous day. He'd always been able to tempt them to fight for him, but sending Spren to bond with them? Terrible. And how had he managed to start a storm of his own? Well, this land was finally doomed. And Ash? Ash couldn't find it inside herself to care any longer. She pushed into the tent, forcibly keeping herself from looking at the rug in case it bore depictions of the heralds. There she found him, sitting alone in the dim light, staring ahead sightlessly. Dark skin, even darker than hers, and a muscled physique. A king, for all the fact that he'd never worn a crown. He was the one of the 10 who was never supposed to have borne their burden. And he'd borne it the longest anyway. "Taln," she whispered.
Renarin Kholin knew he wasn't actually a Knight Radiant. Gliss had once been a different kind of Spren, but something had changed him, corrupted him. Gliss didn't remember that very well. It had happened before they had formed their bond. Now neither knew what they'd become. Renarin could feel the Spren trembling inside him, hiding and whispering about the danger. Yasna had found them. Renarin had seen that coming. He knelt in the ancient temple of Pelaya, and to his eyes it was full of colors. 1,000 panes of stained glass sprouted on the walls, combining and melting together, creating a panorama. He saw himself coming to Thalen City earlier in the day. He saw Dalinar talking to the monarchs, and then he saw them turning against him.
"She will hurt us. She will hurt us."
"I know, Gliss," he whispered, turning toward a specific section of stained glass. This showed Renarin kneeling on the floor of the temple. In the sequence of stained glass panels, Yasna approached him from behind, sword raised. And then she struck him down. Renarin couldn't control what he saw or when he saw it. He had learned to read so he could understand the numbers and words that appeared under some of the images. They had shown him when the Everstorm would come. They had shown him how to find the hidden compartments in Urethiru. Now they showed his death. The future. Renarin could see what was forbidden. He wrenched his eyes away from the glass pane, showing himself and Jasnah, turning toward one even worse. In it, his father knelt before a god of gold and white.
"No, father,"
Renarin whispered.
"Please, not that. Don't do it."
"He will not be resisted," Gliss said. "My sorrow, Renarin. I will give you my sorrow."
A pair of glory spren swung down from the skies, golden spheres. They floated and spun around Dalinar, brilliant like drops of sunlight.
"Yes," Dalinar said. "This is what I wish."
"You wish a contest of champions," Odium repeated. "This is your true desire, not forced upon you. You are not beguiled or tricked in any way."
"A contest of champions, for the fate of Roshar."
"Very well," Odium said, then sighed softly. "I agree."
"That easily?"
"Oh, I assure you, this won't be easy." Odium raised his eyebrows in an open, inviting way, a concerned expression.
"I have chosen my champion already. I've been preparing him for a long, long time.
Amaram."
"Him? A passionate man, yes, but hardly suited to this task? No. I need someone who dominates a battlefield like the sun dominates the sky."
The thrill suddenly returned to Dalinar. The red mist, which had been fading, roared back to life. Images filled his mind, memories of his youth spent fighting.
"I need someone stronger than Amaram," Odium whispered. "No, a man who will win no matter the cost."
The thrill overwhelmed Dalinar, choking him.
"A man who has served me all his life. A man I trust. I believe I warned you that I knew you'd make the right decision. And now, here we are."
"No."
"Take a deep breath, my friend," Odium whispered. "I'm afraid that this will hurt."
118. The Weight of It All. These Voidbringers know no songs. They cannot hear Roshar. And where they go, they bring silence. They look soft with no shell, but they are hard. They have but one heart, and it cannot ever live. From the Aela Steely.
"No," Dalinar whispered again, voice ragged as the thrill thrummed inside of him. "No, you were wrong."
Odium gripped Dalinar's shoulder.
"What does she say?"
"She?" He heard Evie crying, screaming, begging for her life as the flames took her.
"Don't blame yourself," Odium said as Dalinar winced. "I made you kill her, Dalinar. I caused all of this. Do you remember?"
"I can help. Here."
Memories flooded Dalinar's mind, a devastating onslaught of images. He lived them all in detail, somehow squeezed into a moment, the thrill raging inside of him. He saw himself stab a poor soldier in the back, a young man trying to crawl to safety, crying for his mother.
"I was with you then," Odium said.
He killed a far better man than himself, a High Lord who had held Teleb's loyalty. Dalinar knocked him to the ground, then slammed a poleaxe into his chest.
"I was with you then."
Dalinar fought atop a strange rock formation, facing another man who knew the thrill. Dalinar dropped him to the ground with burning eyes and called it a mercy.
I was with you then.
He raged at Gavilar, anger and lust rising as twin emotions. He broke a man in a tavern, frustrated that he'd been held back from enjoying the fight. He fought on the borders of Yakaved, laughing, corpses littering the ground. He remembered every moment of the carnage. He felt each death like a spike driven into his soul. He began to weep for the destruction.
It's what you needed to do, Dalinar, Odium said. You made a better kingdom.
So much pain.
Blame me, Dalinar. It wasn't you. You saw red when you did those things. It was my fault. Accept that. You don't have to hurt.
Dalinar blinked, meeting Odium's eyes.
Let me have the pain, Dalinar, Odium said. Give it to me, and never feel guilty again.
No, Dalinar hugged the Way of Kings close. No, I can't.
Oh, Dalinar, what does she say?
No.
Have you forgotten? Here, let me help.
And he was back in that day, the day he killed Ebi. Zeth found purpose in wielding the sword. It screamed at him to destroy evil, even if evil was obviously a concept that the sword itself could not understand. Its vision was occluded, like Zeth's own, a metaphor. How was a twisted soul like his to decide who should die? Impossible. And so he put his trust in someone else, someone whose light peeked through the shadow. Dalinar Kholin. Night Radiant. He would know. This choice was not perfect, but stones unhallowed, it was the best he could manage. It brought him some small measure of peace as he swept through the enemy army. The sword screamed at him,
"Destroy!"
Anyone he so much as nicked popped into black smoke. Zeth laid waste to the red-eyed soldiers who kept coming, showing no fear, screaming as if they thirsted for death. It was a drink that Zeth was all too good at serving. He wielded Stormlight in one hand, lashing any men who drew too close, sending them flipping into the air or crashing backward into their fellows. With the other hand, he swept the sword through their ranks. He moved on nimble feet, his own body lashed upward just enough to lighten him. Skybreakers didn't have access to all of the lashings, but the most useful and most deadly were still his.
Remember the gemstone.
A phantom sense called to him. A desire to continue killing, to revel in the butchery. Zeth rejected it, sick. He had never enjoyed this. He could never enjoy this. The Voidbringer with the gemstone had slipped away, moving on two swift feet. Zeth pointed the sword, a piece of him terrified by how quickly it was chewing through his own stormlight, and lashed himself to follow. He plowed through soldiers, men bursting into smoke, seeking that one individual. The Voidbringer turned at the last moment, dancing away from his sword. Zeth lashed himself downward, then spun in a sweeping arc, towing black smoke, almost liquid, behind his sword as he destroyed men in a grand circle.
"Evil!"
the sword cried. Zeth leaped for the Voidbringer woman, but she dropped to the ground and slid on the stone as if it were greased. His sword swung over her head, and she pushed herself backward toward him, sliding right past his legs. There she swept gracefully to her feet and seized the sheath off Zeth's back, where he'd tied it for safekeeping. It broke free. When Zeth turned to attack, she blocked the sword with its own sheath. How had she done that? Was there something about the silvery metal that Zeth didn't know? She blocked his next few attacks, then ducked away from his attempts to lash her. The sword was growing frustrated.
"Destroy! Destroy! Destroy!"
Black veins began to grow around Zeth's hand, creeping toward his upper arm. He struck again, but she simply slipped away, moving across the ground as if natural laws had no purchase on her. Other soldiers piled in, and the pain started up Zeth's arm as he worked death among them.
Yasna stopped, one pace behind Renarin. She could hear his whispers clearly now.
"Father!
Oh, father! The young man whipped his head in one direction, then another, seeing things that weren't there. He sees not what is, but what is to come, Ivory said. Odium's power, Yasna.
Town,
Ash whispered, kneeling before him.
Oh, Town.
The herald stared forward with dark eyes.
I am Talanel Elin, herald of war. The time of the return, the desolation is near at hand.
Town,
Ash took his hand.
It's me. It's Ash.
We must prepare. You will have forgotten much.
Please, Taln.
Kallak will teach you to cast bronze.
He just continued on, repeating the same words over and over and over.
Kaladin fell to his knees on the cold obsidian of Shadesmar. Fused descended around them, six figures in brilliant flapping clothing. He had a single slim hope. Each ideal he'd spoken had resulted in an outpouring of power and strength. He licked his lips and tried whispering it.
I will.
He thought of friends lost. Malop, Jax, Beld, and Pedin.
Say it, Stormyu.
Rod and Mart. Bridgemen he'd failed. And before them, slaves he'd tried to save. Goshal. Nalma. Caught in a trap like a beast. A wind spren appeared near him, like a line of light. Then another.
A single hope. The words. Say the words.
Oh, mother! Oh, cultivation! Windel cried as they watched the assassin murder his way across the field.
What have we done?
We've pointed him away from us, Lift said, as she perched on a boulder, her eyes wide. You'd rather he was close by?
Windel continued to whimper, and Lift kinda understood. That was a lot of killing that the assassin did. Red-eyed men who seemed to have no light left in them, true, but storms. She'd lost track of the woman with the gemstone, but at least the army seemed to be flowing away from Zeth, leaving him fewer people to kill. He stumbled, slowing, then dropped to his knees.
Uh-oh.
Lift summoned Windel as a rod in case the assassin lost his starvin' mind, what was left of it, and attacked her. She slipped off the rock, then ran over. He held the strange shard blade before himself. It continued to leak black liquid that vaporized as it streamed toward the ground. His hand had gone all black.
Zeth said. I have lost the sheath.
Drop the sword!
I can't,
Zeth said, teeth gritted.
It holds to me. Feasting upon my stormlight. It will soon consume me.
Storms, 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 storms.
Right.
Lift looked around. The army was flooding into the city. The second stone monster was stomping across the ancient ward, stepping on buildings. Dalinar Kolin still stood before the gap. Maybe he could help?
Come on,
Lift said.
Kill the man,
said the captain holding Navani. He swept his hand toward old Kamakul, Fen's consort.
We don't need him.
Fen screamed against her gag, but she was held tightly. Navani carefully wiggled her safe hand fingers out of her sleeve, then touched her other arm and the fabrial there, flipping a latch. Small knobs extended from the front of the device just above her wrist. Kamakul struggled to stand. He seemed to want to face his death with dignity, but the other two soldiers didn't give him that honor. They pushed him back against the wall, one pulling out a dagger. Navani seized the arm of the man holding her, then pressed the knobs of her pain fabrial against his skin. He screamed and dropped, writhing in agony. One of the others turned toward her, and she pressed the pain rail against his uplifted hand. She'd tested the device on herself, of course, so she knew what it felt like. 1,000 needles being shoved into your skin, under your nails, into your eyes. The second man wet himself as he dropped. The last one managed to cut a gash in her arm before she sent him to the ground, spasming. Bother. She flipped the switch on the pain rail, drawing away the agony of the cut. Then she took the knife and quickly cut Fenn's bonds. As the queen freed Kamakal, Navani bound her painless wound.
"These will recover soon," Navani said. "We may need to dispatch them before that happens."
Kamakal kicked the man who had almost slit his throat, then cracked the door into the city. A troop of men with glowing eyes rushed past. The entire area was overrun with them.
"These are the least of our trouble, it seems," the aging man said, shutting the door.
"Back up to the wall, then," Fenn said. "We might be able to spot friendly troops from that vantage."
Navani nodded, and Fenn led the way up. At the top, they barred the door. There were bars on both sides. You wanted to be able to lock out enemies who had seized the wall, and also ones who had broken through the gates. Navani surveyed their options. A quick glance revealed that the streets were indeed held by Amaram's troops. Some groups of Thalans held ground farther up, but they were falling quickly.
"By Kalek, storms and passions alike," Kamakal said. "What is that?"
He'd noticed the red mist on the north side of the battlefield, with its horrific images forming and breaking apart. Shadows of soldiers dying, of skeletal features, of charging horses. It was a grand, intimidating sight. But Dalinar... Dalinar drew her eyes. Standing alone, surrounded by enemy soldiers, and facing something she could just barely sense... Something vast. Something unimaginable. Something angry.
Dalinar lived in two places. He saw himself crossing a darkened landscape, dragging his shard blade behind him. He was on the field at Thalen City with Odium, but he was also in the past, approaching Rathalas, urged on by the boiling red anger of the thrill. He returned to the camp, to the surprise of his men, like a spren of death, coated in blood, eyes glowing, glowing red. He ordered the oil brought. He turned toward a city where Evie was imprisoned, where children slept, where innocent people hid and prayed and burned glyph wards and wept.
"Please," Dalinar whispered in Thalen City, "don't make me live it again."
"Oh, Dalinar," Odium said. "You will live it again and again until you let go. You can't carry this burden. Please, give it to me. I drove you to do this. It wasn't your fault." Dalinar pulled the Way of Kings close against his chest, clutching it like a child with his blanket in the night. But a sudden flash of light blasted in front of him, accompanied by a deafening crack. Dalinar stumbled backward. Lightning. That had been lightning. Had it struck him? No. It had somehow struck only the book. Burned pages fluttered around him, singed and smoldering. It had been blasted right from his hands. Odium shook his head.
"The words of a man long dead, long failed."
Overhead, the sun finally passed behind the clouds of the storm, and all fell into darkness. Slowly, the flames of the burning pages went out. Teft huddled someplace dark. Maybe the darkness would hide his sins. But in the distance, he heard shouting, men fighting, Bridge 4 dying. Kaladin stuttered, the words stumbling. He thought of his men from Amaram's army. Dalet and his squad, slain either by Shallan's brother or by Amaram. Such good friends who had fallen. And then, of course, he thought of Tien. Dalinar fell to his knees. A few glory sprens swirled around him, but Odium batted them away and they faded. In the back of his mind, the Stormfather wept. He saw himself step up to where Evie was imprisoned. That tomb in the rock. Dalinar tried to look away, but the vision was everywhere. He didn't merely see it, he lived it. He ordered Evie's death and listened to her screams.
Please.
Odium wasn't done with him. Dalinar had to watch the city burn, hear the children die. He gritted his teeth, groaning in agony. Before, his pains had driven him to drink. There was no drink now, just the thrill. He had always craved it. The thrill had made him live. Without it, he'd been dead. He slumped, bowing his head, listening to the tears of a woman who had believed in him. He'd never deserved her. The Stormfather's weeping faded as Odium somehow shoved the spren away, separating them. That left Dalinar alone.
So alone.
You're not alone, Dalinar, Odium said, going down on one knee beside him.
I'm here. I've always been here.
The thrill boiled within, and Dalinar knew. He knew he'd always been a fraud. He was the same as Amaram. He had an honest reputation, but was a murderer on the inside, a destroyer, a child killer.
Let go, Odium whispered.
Dalinar squeezed his eyes shut, trembling, hands tense as he hunched over and clawed the ground. It hurt so badly to know that he'd failed them. Navani, Adolin, Elikar, Gavilar. He couldn't live with this. He couldn't live with her tears.
Give it to me,
Odium pled. Dalinar ripped his fingernails off, but the pain of the body couldn't distract him. It was nothing beside the agony of his soul, of knowing what he truly was. Zeth tried to walk toward Dalinar. The darkness had grown up his arm, and the sword drank his last wisps of stormlight.
There was a lesson in this, wasn't there? There had to be. Nin wanted him to learn.
He fell to the ground, still holding the sword as it screamed mindlessly.
Destroy evil!
The little radiant girl scrambled to him. She looked toward the sky as the sun vanished behind clouds. Then she took Zeth's head in her hands.
No,
he tried to croak.
It will take you too.
She breathed life into him somehow, and the sword drank of it freely. Her eyes went wide as the black veins began to grow up her fingers and hands. Renarin didn't want to die, but strangely he found himself welcoming Jasnah's strike. Better to die than to live to see what was happening to his father. For he saw the future. He saw his father in black armor, a plague upon the land. He saw the Blackthorn return, a terrible scourge with 9 shadows. Odium's champion.
He's going to fall, Renarin whispered. He's already fallen. He belongs to the enemy now. Dalinar Kor'lin is no more.
Venli shivered on the plain, near Odium. Timber had been pulsing to peace, but now she quieted. 20 or 30 yards away, a figure in white clothing collapsed to the ground, a little girl at his side. Nearer to her, Dalinar Kor'lin, the man who had resisted, slumped forward, head bowed, holding one hand against his chest and trembling. Odium stepped back, his appearance that of a parchment with golden carapace.
It is done,
he said, looking toward Venli and the gathered group of fused.
You have a leader. We must follow one of them.
Tarash asked.
A human?
Venli's breath caught. There had been no respect in that tone. Odium smiled.
You will follow me, Tarash, or I will reclaim that which gives you persistent life. I care not for the shape of the tool, only that it cuts.
Tarash bowed his head. Stone crunched as a figure in glittering shard plate walked up to them, carrying a shard blade in one hand and, strangely, an empty sheath in the other. The human had his faceplate up, exposing red eyes. He tossed the silvery sheath to the ground.
I was told to deliver that to you. Well done, Meridas, Odium said. Aberay, could you provide this human with an appropriate housing for Yelignar?
One of the fused stepped forward and proffered a small, uncut smokestone toward the human, Meridas.
And what is this?
Meridas asked.
The fulfillment of my promise to you, Odium said. Swallow it.
What?
If you wish for the promised power, ingest that. Then try to control the one who follows. But be warned, the queen at Kolinar tried this, and the power consumed her.
Meridas held up the gemstone, inspecting it, then glanced toward Dalinar Kolin.
So, you've been speaking to him all this time, too? Even longer than I've been speaking to you. Can I kill him? Someday. Assuming I don't let him kill you.
Odium rested his hand on the shoulder of the huddled Dalinar Kolin.
It's done, Dalinar. The pain has passed. Stand up and claim the station you were born to obtain.
Kaladin thought, finally, of Dalinar. Could Kaladin do it? Could he really say these words? Could he mean them? The fused swept close. Adolin bled. You know what you need to do. I can't, Kaladin finally whispered, tears streaming down his cheeks.
I can't lose him. But, oh, Almighty, I can't save him.
Kaladin bowed his head, sagging forward, trembling. He couldn't say those words. He wasn't strong enough. Syl's arms enfolded him from behind, and he felt softness as her cheek pressed against the back of his neck. She pulled him tight as he wept, sobbing at his failure.
Yasna raised her blade over Renarin's head. Make it quick. Make it painless. Most threats to a dynasty came from within. Renarin was obviously corrupted. She'd known there was a problem the moment she'd read that he had predicted the Everstorm. Now Yasna had to be strong. She had to do what was right, even when it was so, so hard. She prepared to swing, but then Renarin turned and looked at her. Tears streaming down his face, he met her eyes, and he nodded. Suddenly they were young again. He was a trembling child, weeping on her shoulder for a father who didn't seem to be able to feel love. Little Renarin, always so solemn, always misunderstood, laughed at, and condemned by people who said similar things about Yasna behind her back. Yasna froze, as if standing at the edge of a cliff. Wind blew through the temple, carrying with it a pair of spren in the form of golden spheres, bobbing in the currents. Yasna dismissed her sword. Yasna? Ivory said, appearing back in the form of a man, clinging to her collar. Yasna fell to her knees, then pulled Renarin into an embrace. He broke down, crying, like he had as a boy, burying his head in her shoulder.
What's wrong with me? Renarin asked. Why do I see these things? I thought I was doing something right with Gliss, but somehow it's all wrong. Hush, Yasna whispered. We'll find a way through it, Renarin. Whatever it is, we'll fix it. We'll survive this, somehow. Storms. The things he'd said about Dalinar.
Yasna, Ivory said, becoming full size as he stepped free of her collar. He leaned down. Yasna, this is right. Somehow it is. He seemed completely stunned. It is not what makes sense, yet it is still right. How? How is this thing?
Renarin pulled back from her, his tear-stained eyes going wide.
I saw you kill me.
It's all right, Renarin. I'm not going to.
But don't you see? Don't you understand what that means?
Yasna shook her head.
Yasna, Renarin said. My vision was wrong about you. What I see, it can be wrong.
Alone. Dalinar held a fist to his chest. So alone. It hurt to breathe, to think. But something stirred inside his fist. He opened bleeding fingers. The most important. Inside his fist, he somehow found a golden sphere. A solitary glory sprang.
The most important step a man can take. It's not the first one, is it? It's the next one. Always the next step, Dalinar.
Trembling, bleeding, agonized, Dalinar forced air into his lungs and spoke a single, ragged sentence.
You cannot have my pain.
119. Unity. As I began my journey, I was challenged to defend why I insisted on traveling alone. They called it irresponsible, an avoidance of duty and obligation. Those who said this made an enormous mistake of assumption. From The Way of Kings, Postscript. Odium stepped back.
Dalinar, what is this? You cannot have my pain. Dalinar.
Dalinar forced himself to his feet.
You cannot have my pain. Be sensible. I killed those children,
Dalinar said.
No, I burned the people of Rathalos. I was there, influencing you. You cannot have my pain!
Dalinar bellowed, stepping toward Odium. The god frowned. His fused companions shied back, and Amaram raised a hand before his eyes and squinted. Were those glory sprens spinning around Dalinar?
I did kill the people of Rathalos, Dalinar shouted. You might have been there. But I made the choice. I decided.
He stilled.
I killed her. It hurts so much, but I did it. I accept that. You cannot have her. You cannot take her from me again.
Dalinar, Odium said.
What do you hope to gain keeping this burden?
Dalinar sneered at the god.
If I pretend I didn't do those things, it means that I can't have grown to become someone else. A failure.
Something stirred inside of Dalinar. A warmth that he had known once before. A warm, calming light.
Unite them.
Journey before destination, Dalinar said.
It cannot be a journey if it doesn't have a beginning.
A thunderclap sounded in his mind. Suddenly, awareness poured back into him. The Stormfather, distant, feeling frightened, but also surprised.
Dalinar? I will take responsibility for what I have done,
Dalinar whispered.
If I must fall, I will rise each time
a better man.
Renarin ran after Jasnah through the loft wards of the city. People clogged the streets, but she didn't use those. She leaped off buildings, dropping onto rooftops of the tiers below. She ran across each of these, then leaped down to the next street. Renarin struggled to follow, afraid of his weakness, confused by the things he'd seen. He dropped to a rooftop, feeling sudden pain at the fall, though Stormlight healed that. He limped after her until the pain left.
"Jasnah!" he called. "Jasnah, I can't keep up!"
She stopped at the edge of a rooftop. He reached her and she took his arm.
"You can keep up, Renarin. You're a Knight Radiant." "I don't think I'm a Radiant, Jasnah. I don't know what I am."
An entire stream of glory spren flew past them, hundreds in a sweeping formation that curved toward the base of the city. Something was glowing down there, a beacon in the dim light of an overcast city.
"I know what you are," Jasnah said. "You're my cousin. Family, Renarin. Hold my hand. Run with me."
He nodded, and she towed him after her, leaping from the rooftop, ignoring the monstrous creature that climbed up nearby. Jasnah seemed focused on only one thing, that light.
"Unite them."
Glory spren streamed around Dalinar. Thousands of golden spheres, more spren than he'd ever seen in one place. They swirled around him in a column of golden light. Beyond it, Odium stumbled back.
"So small," Dalinar thought. "Has he always looked that small?"
Syl looked up. Kaladin turned to see what had drawn her attention. She looked past the fused who had landed to attack. She was staring toward the ocean of beads and the trembling lights of souls above it.
"Syl?"
She pulled him tight.
"Maybe you don't have to save anyone, Kaladin. Maybe it's time for someone to save you."
"Unite them."
Dalinar thrust his left hand to the side, plunging it between realms, grabbing hold of the very fabric of existence. The world of minds, the realm of thought. He thrust his right hand to the other side, touching something vast, something that wasn't a place. It was all places in one. He'd seen this before, in the moment when Odium had let him glimpse the spiritual realm. Today, he held it in his hand. The fused scrambled away. Amaram pushed down his faceplate, but that wasn't enough. He stumbled back, arm raised. Only one person remained in place. A young Parsh woman, the one that Dalinar had visited in the visions.
"What are you?"
she whispered as he stood with arms outstretched, holding to the lands of mind and spirit. He closed his eyes, breathing out, listening to a sudden stillness. And within it, a simple, quiet voice. A woman's voice, so familiar to him.
"I forgive you."
Dalinar opened his eyes and knew what the Parsh woman saw in him. Swirling clouds, glowing light, thunder and lightning.
"I am unity."
He slammed both hands together and combined three realms into one. Shadesmar exploded with light. Fused screamed as a wind blasted them away, though Kaladin felt nothing. Beads clattered and roared. Kaladin shaded his eyes with his hand. The light faded, leaving a brilliant, glowing pillar in the middle of the sea. Beneath it, the beads locked together, turning into a highway of glass. Kaladin blinked, taking Shallan's hand as she helped him to his feet. Adolin had forced himself to sit up, holding his bloodied stomach.
What is it? "Honor's perpendicularity," Syl whispered. "A well of power that pierces all three realms."
She looked to Kaladin.
"A pathway home."
Taln gripped Ash's hand. Ash looked at his fingers, thick and calloused. Thousands of years could come and pass, and she could lose lifetimes to the dream, but those hands, she'd never forget those hands.
Ash,
he said. She looked up at him, then gasped and raised her fingers to her lips.
How long?
He asked.
Tall.
She gripped his hand in both of hers.
I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. How long? They say it's been 4 millennia. I don't always note the passing of time. 4,000 years?
She held his hand tighter.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He pulled his hand from hers and stood up, walking through the tent. She followed, apologizing again, but what good were words? They'd betrayed him. Tone brushed aside the front drapes and stepped out. He looked up at the city expanding above them, at the sky, at the wall. Soldiers in breastplates and chain rushed past to join a fight farther along.
4,000 years?
Tone asked again.
Ash, we couldn't continue. We thought... Ash.
He took her hand again.
What a wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
We left you, Tone. What a gift you gave them. Time to recover for once between desolations. Time to progress. They never had a chance before. But this time... Yes, maybe they do. No, Tone, you can't be like this. A wonderful thing indeed, Ash. You can't be like this, Tone. You have to hate me. Hate me, please.
He turned from her, but still held her hand, pulling her after him.
Come. He's waiting.
Who? She asked.
I don't know.
Teft gasped in the darkness.
Can you see it, Teft?
The Spren whispered.
Can you feel the words?
I'm broken.
Who isn't? Life breaks us, Teft. Then we fill the cracks with something stronger.
I make myself sick.
Teft,
she said, a glowing apparition in the darkness.
That's what the words are about.
Oh, Kalek. The shouts, fighting, his friends.
I storm you. Be a man for once in your life.
Teft licked his lips and spoke.
I will protect those I hate. Even if the one I hate most is myself.
Renarin fell to the last level of the city, the Low Ward. He stumbled to a stop there, his hand slipping from Yasna's. Soldiers marched through these streets with eyes like embers.
Yasna! He called. Emaram's soldiers changed sides. They serve Odium now. I saw it in vision.
She ran right toward them.
Yasna!
The first soldier swung his sword at her. Yasna ducked the weapon, then shoved her hand against him, throwing him backward. He crystallized in the air, slamming into the next man, who caught the transformation like a disease. He slammed into another man, knocking him back, as if the full force of Yasna's shove had transferred to him. He crystallized a moment later. Yasna spun, a shard blade forming in her gloved safe hand, her skirt rippling as she sliced through 6 men in one sweep. The sword vanished as she slapped her hand into the wall of a building behind her, and that wall puffed away into smoke, causing the roof to crash down, blocking the alley between buildings, where other soldiers had been approaching. She swept her hand upward, and air coalesced into stone, forming steps that she took, barely breaking her stride, to climb to the rooftop of the next building. Renarin gaped. That... how?
It will be great, vast, wonderful,
Gliss said from within Renarin's heart.
It will be beautiful, Renarin. Look!
A well blossomed inside of him. Power like he'd never felt before. An awesome, overwhelming strength. Stormlight unending. A source of it so vast he was stunned.
Yasna!
He shouted,
then belatedly ran up the steps she'd created, feeling so alive that he wanted to dance. Wouldn't that be a sight? Renarin Colin, dancing on a rooftop while... He slowed, gaping again as he looked through a gap in the wall and saw a column of light. Rising higher and higher, it stretched toward the clouds.
Fen and her consort backed away from the storm of light. Navani exulted in it. She leaned out far over the side of the wall, laughing like a fool. Glory sprens streamed around her, brushing her hair, flowing toward the already impossible number that coursed around Dalinar in a pillar that stretched hundreds of feet into the air. Then lights sparked to life in a wave across the field, the top of the wall, the street below. Gemstones that had been lying ignored, scattered from the broken bank, drank in stormlight from Dalinar. They lit the ground with 1,000 pinpricks of color.
No, Odium screamed. He stepped forward. No, we killed you. We killed you.
Dalinar stood within a pillar of light and spinning glory spren, one hand to each side clutching the realms that made up reality. Forgiven. The pain he'd so recently insisted that he would keep started to fade away on its own.
These words are accepted, the Stormfather said, sounding stunned. How? What have you done?
Odium stumbled back.
Kill him! Attack him!
The Parsh woman didn't move, but Amaram lethargically lowered his hand from his face, then stepped forward, summoning his shard blade. Dalinar took his hand from the glowing pillar and held it out.
You can change, he said. You can become a better person. I did. Journey before destination.
No, Amaram said.
No. He'll never forgive me. The bridge man? Not him,
Amaram tapped his chest.
Him. I'm sorry, Dalinar.
He raised a familiar shard blade. Dalinar's shard blade, Oathbringer. Passed from tyrant to tyrant to tyrant. A portion of light split from Dalinar's column. Amaram swung Oathbringer with a shout, but the light met the shard blade with an explosion of sparks, throwing Amaram backward, as if the strength of shardplate were no more than that of a child. The light resolved into a man with shoulder-length wavy hair, a blue uniform, and a silvery spear in his hand. A second glowing form split off into Shallan Devar. Brilliant red hair streaming behind her, a long thin shard blade with a slight curve forming in her hands. And then, blessedly, Adolin appeared.
Mistress, Windle said. Oh, mistress! For once, Lift didn't have the will to tell him to shut up. She focused everything on those tendrils creeping up her arms like deep, dark vines. The assassin lay on the ground, staring upward, practically covered in those vines. Lift held them at bay, teeth gritted, her will against the darkness until... Light. Like a sudden detonation, a force of light flashed across the field. Gemstones on the ground flared up, capturing stormlight, and the assassin screamed, drawing in light like glowing mist. The vines shriveled as the sword's thirst was slaked by the stormlight. Lift fell back on the stone and pried her hands off Zeth's head. I knew I liked you, a voice said in Lift's mind. The sword? So it was a spren? You almost ate him, Lift said. You almost starve and ate me. Oh, I wouldn't do that, the voice said. She seemed completely baffled, voice growing slow, like she was drowsy. But maybe I was just really, really hungry. Well, Lift supposed she couldn't blame someone for that. The assassin climbed unsteadily to his feet.
His face was crisscrossed with lines where the vines had been, that somehow left his skin gray in streaks, the color of stone. Lift's arms bore the same. Huh. Zeth walked toward the glowing column of light, leaving an afterimage behind him. Come, he said.
Elokar, Dalinar thought. But no one else came through the column of light. And he knew. Knew somehow that the king was not coming. He closed his eyes and accepted that grief. He had failed the king in many ways. Stand up, he thought, and do better. He opened his eyes and slowly his column of glory spread faded. The power within him withdrew, leaving him exhausted. Fortunately, the field was covered in glittering gemstones, stormlight in plenty.
A direct conduit to the spiritual realm, the Stormfather said. You renew spheres, Dalinar?
We are connected.
I was bonded to men before. This never happened then.
Honor was alive then. We are something different. His remnants, your soul, my will. Kaladin Stormblessed stepped up beside Dalinar before the rubble of the wall, and Shallan Devar stood on the other side. Yasna emerged from the city and surveyed the scene with a critical air while Renarin popped out behind her, then cried out and ran for Adolin. He grabbed his older brother in an embrace, then gasped. Adolin was wounded?
Good lad,
Dalinar thought as Renarin immediately set to healing his brother. Two more people crossed the battlefield. Lift, he had anticipated. But the assassin? Zeth scooped the silvery sheath off the ground and slammed his black shard blade into it before stepping up to join Dalinar.
Skybreaker, Dalinar thought, counting them off. Edge Dancer? That was seven.
He would have expected three more.
There, the Stormfather said. Behind your niece.
Two more people appeared in the shadow of the wall. A large, powerful man with an impressive physique and a woman with long, dark hair. Their dark skin marked them as Makabaki, perhaps Azish, but their eyes were wrong.
I know them,
the Stormfather said, sounding surprised.
I know them from long, long ago. Memories of days when I did not fully live. Dalinar, you are in the presence of divinities.
I've grown accustomed to it, Dalinar said, turning back toward the field. Odium had retreated into nothingness, though his fused remained, as did most of the troops, and one strange spren, the one like black smoke. Beyond it, of course, the thrill still encompassed the north side of the landing near the water. Amaram had 10,000 men, and maybe half of those had made it into the city so far. They had wilted before Dalinar's display, but now... Wait. Those two only make 9, he thought to the Stormfather. Something told him there should be one more.
I don't know. Perhaps they haven't been found yet. Regardless, even with the bond, you are just one man. Radiants are not immortal. How do you face this army?
Dalinar, Kaladin said.
Order, sir.
The enemy ranks were recovering. They lifted weapons, eyes glowing deep red. Amaram stirred as well, some 20 feet away. The thrill had Dalinar most worried, however. He knew what it could do. He glanced down at his arm and noticed something. The lightning that had struck him earlier, shredding the way of kings, had broken his arm fabrial. The clasp was undone, and Dalinar could see the tiny gemstones Navani had placed to power it.
Sir?
Kaladin asked again.
The enemy is trying to crush this city, Captain, Dalinar said, lowering his arm. We're going to hold it against his forces.
7 radiants?
Yasna said, skeptical. Uncle, that seems a tall order, even if one of us is, apparently, the storming assassin in white.
I serve Dalinar Kholin,
Zeth Sansan Valano whispered. His face, for some reason, was streaked with gray.
I cannot know truth. So I follow one who does.
Whatever we do,
Shallan said. We should do it quickly, before those soldiers...
Renarin! Delinar barked. Sir!
Renarin said, scrambling forward.
We need to hold out until troops arrive from Urethiru. Ben doesn't have the numbers to fight alone. Get to the Oath Gate, stop that thunderclast up there from destroying it, and open the portal.
Sir!
Renarin saluted.
Shallan, we don't have an army yet, Delinar said. Lightweave one up for us, and keep these soldiers busy. They're consumed by a bloodlust that I suspect will make them easier to distract. Jasnah, the city we're defending happens to have a big storming hole in its wall. Can you hold that hole and stop anyone who tries to get through?
She nodded, thoughtful.
What about me?
Kaladin asked. Delinar pointed at Amaram, who was climbing to his feet in his shard plate.
He's going to try to kill me for what I do next, and I could use a bodyguard. As I recall, you have a score to settle with the High Lord.
You could say that.
Lift, I believe I already gave you an order. Take the assassin and get me that ruby. Together we hold this city until Renarin returns with troops. Any questions?
Lift said. Could you maybe tell me where to get something to eat? Delinar glanced at her. Something to eat?
There should be a supply dump just inside the wall.
Thanks. Delinar sighed, then started walking toward the water.
Sir,
Kaladin called.
Where are you going?
The enemy brought a very big stick to this battle, Captain. I'm going to take it away.
Rough map of the Battle of Thalen Field. Annotated by Navani Kolin. The enemy landed a large fleet here, just north of the destroyed docks. Northward of that, the Thrill emerged from the ocean in the form of a large red cloud, manifesting many shapes. The bulk of the enemy army formed up here before the city wall. The wall was broken here. The Gemstone Reserve is at the boundary between the Low Ward and the Ancient Ward. The Temples of the Ten Heralds are located at the top of the city, in the Royal Ward. At the north end of the Royal Ward is the Oathgate platform.
120. The spear